This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell is that?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. Again, that's 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show. Good evening. My co-host and talented and handsome Mike Perez had to leave to go to a board meeting, but he'll be back next week. Today's show is about property and casualty insurance and what type of coverage you need when you live in a condo versus a homeowners association. Who pays for the insurance and what's covered under the policy? What is admitted coverage versus non-admitted coverage? And what is a master policy? Our guest today is Chris Sanders, the CEO of Aegis Insurance Group. Chris and his company, Aegis, has more than 30 years' experience in dealing with multiple types of insurance products, such as annuities, health insurance, auto, life, but most importantly, property and casualty insurance. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in the insurance business for over 20 years. And we have an agency in Clearwater, Florida, and all of our producers there at the agency have 20 years plus experience.
Okay.
So we're very knowledgeable about insurance products.
Well, okay, that's great. So why don't we start by you defining property and casualty insurance?
Well, property and casualty insurance, let's start off with property. Property insurance, we're looking to cover structures, buildings, homes, even your automobile insurance has property coverage built into it, the physical damage part. So if your vehicle was damaged, we would replace it or repair it. So those are the things when it comes to property. It's certainly there's many aspects of that. On the casualty side, we're talking about liability. We're talking about things that could happen, you could do to others. Well, let's say for a condominium association would have a general liability policy. That's there to protect them in case somebody slips and falls on a sidewalk and injures themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the liability aspect, that's a general liability program, but there's also other types of liability programs. You've got malpractice insurance. You have a coverage that's specific to associations and homeowner associations, directors and officers coverage, and it's the liability to protect the board for something they may do that may cause some litigation and come back at them and cause them some legal problems. And so that's in a nutshell, that's what property and casualty is.
All right. That's interesting. So what's admitted coverage versus non-admitted coverage?
Well, admitted coverage and non-admitted coverage. We've got an admitted carrier is an insurance carrier that participates in the Florida Guarantee Fund. So they are backed up by the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. So a portion of your premium dollars is going towards this guarantee fund. So God forbid a company, a storm hit and hit a company where they were most vulnerable and exposed and they went insolvent, you would have some help from the guarantee fund to pay claims. Non-admitted companies, these are companies I often refer to, they sit out in a boat in the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, they can do business in the state of Florida, but they don't necessarily play by the same rules. These are companies that can write dynamite manufacturers. You know, they can do some special things, but they're non-admitted. So if something happened to that company, it's first come, first serve to the reserves and their money to then their ability to pay their claims. And once the money's gone, it's gone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think it's important if you can get an admitted carrier, you want one. That's the first choice.
So that would be the first choice. That's interesting. I think everybody would like to know, you know, more about that. But right now, what's a master policy? I mean, we hear about that. So can you explain what that's about?
Well, master policies are, you know, you're referring often to condominium associations. And these condominium associations, you may have a large community, but you may have multiple associations within this community. It may have been the phases that they were built, different years. And what happens is they have some common ground, like a swimming pool and a pool house. And they all, the associations, share this common pool. And so what happens is that we will write a master program for that, for the roads and for the streets, for the liability on the streets, for the property coverage, for the building, the clubhouse, and the pool. So that is what a master association is. It's taking care of the common grounds, but it is also often confused with. Someone will say, well, we have a master policy with just one association. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we want to look at it as a master policy. A community association has policies. And it is the main, we're insuring that association with property and casualty and all the other things that go with that. It's not necessarily referred to as a master policy.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about wind coverage. What exactly does that cover?
Well, a lot of policies that you buy today, they have the wind coverages built into it.
Okay.
So you're getting multiple hazards, fire, you're getting water. You're getting a lot of coverages that are built into the policy, including wind. However, in Florida, we have hurricanes. This is a hurricane alley down here. And we'll get, you know, so what they do is how the state has it broke up. We have what we call the X zone. And the X zone is an X wind zone, meaning it's excluding wind, and it gives companies the ability to write a policy without the wind in it. And then when the wind coverage is, then the wind coverage would be purchased separately from another company. And a lot of those, where that line is typically the barrier islands. Like when you're crossing from, say, Clearwater onto Clearwater Beach, mm-hmm. you've got to go across the intercoastal. Well, right. When you cross the intercoastal, you're literally on barrier islands that protect our peninsula. So that is an X zone. That's X wind area there. So even though it is an X wind designated area, that doesn't mean that a carrier will not provide it. It's just that it gives some carriers the ability to say, hey, we're going to cover basic hazards for fire, let's say, but we're not going to cover for the wind. And then we buy that through ICAT or through Citizens Wind Only programs.
Okay. So speaking of hurricanes and storms, what is flood insurance required by law?
Say again, is flood insurance?
Yes, is flood insurance actually required by law?
Well, flood insurance is not necessarily required by law. It's most often required by a lender, like if you have a home, say a single-family home, or even a condominium. If you have a loan against it, they're going to be looking for flood insurance.
All right. Is that a separate policy?
And that is a separate policy.
Okay. All right.
Yes, it is. And so it is not necessarily a law that makes you do it. It is typically a mortgage company looking to do that. But with condominium associations, there's a little caveat there that, well, you've got some bylaws and you've got Florida Statute 718 that does require the association to do the best they can do to insure the property with the most available coverage.
All right, so if you live in a flood zone, and let's say you live on the 10th floor, why would it be required to have flood insurance?
Well, you know, we get that a lot. You know, you might imagine someone that's so high in a in a concrete building, 10, 12-story building, and it's built like a fortress, right? Concrete walls, all the concrete floors.
Yeah.
So you're on the 12th floor, 10th or 12th floor, and there's no way the water, rising water is getting in your unit, so why should you have to carry it? Here's the problem. If we were to get a tsunami or tidal surge from high and constant beating on these large structures, okay, they could collapse. They could get tilted, and they may not be repairable once the storm passes. And you could have the county come in and condemn it. And yes, you're not wet up there on the 10th floor, but your building is just been condemned. So the thing has to be torn down and rebuilt. Who's going to do that? And there's only one coverage that provides that, and that would be flood insurance if it messed up the substructure.
All right, so for clarification then, I have a question. If you have insurance but you don't have flood insurance, okay, and your roof, let's say, gets ripped off due to a storm or a hurricane and your condo unit gets flooded, do you have coverage?
Well, that's a great question. Well, if you have driving wind that... Okay, and it's coming in sideways, and it rips the roof off, and it starts getting wet and starts damaging everything. That is actually covered under a hazard policy, not flood. The windows got blown out, the roof got ripped off, whatever it may be, and you've got water cascading in, damaging everything. That would not be flood insurance covering that. That would be your hazard program property.
Okay. All right. So rising water is the only thing that flood insurance covers then, right?
Rising water, yes.
Okay, good. Well, what about contents and personal furnishing insurance? You know, is that like renter's insurance?
Well, renter's insurance is something that we recommend if you're renting an apartment building or you're renting a condo or you're renting a home.
Okay.
And that's called an HO4 program. There's many different companies that write it. And you definitely want that to protect your personal belongings, your clothing, and your art, and your furniture, all your personal items. That's how you cover it. But these policies also include liability coverage. So you get some coverage for something you could accidentally do to someone out and about. Like if you have a bad golf game like I do at times, okay, you could shank one and hurt someone. And if they know who you are, okay, who's going to stand by your side? So if you have no homeowner's insurance, no HO4, nothing like that, you have no liability unless you're carrying a personal liability policy. And most people don't carry that. They just get it through their homeowners.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So, Chris, board members need to be protected, right? And what type of coverage protects the board members against lawsuits?
Well, there's the main coverage to protect a board is directors and officers.
Okay.
Okay. That is the main type of coverage in case something happens and you make a bad decision. You put a speed bump in front of someone's driveway and they came and said you've just hurt their property value and they want to sue the board. So you can be protected for directors and officers. But there's also another type of coverage out there that protects the boards, and you got to be cautious. It's called wrongful acts coverage. And wrongful acts coverage is decent coverage. However, it's missing a few bells and whistles that the D&O, the full D&O programs offer. And I'll just sum it up. Anybody that hears this and is on a board, okay, if the board gets sued, their spouses could get sued with them.
Oh my.
And a D&O policy will cover the spouse, where wrongful acts coverage program will not. And so you got to know what you've got. But D&O, directors and officers, and there's many fine companies out there like Travelers and USLI that write that program with strong financial backing.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's really interesting. All right. So what about fidelity coverage or a bond?
Well, fidelity coverage and bonds are, this is something that protects the money that association and homeowner association, condo association and homeowner associations take in as far as the dues. Now, this money is often going through a property manager like yourself. But what happens is that what would happen if somebody on a board stole money? And you didn't know about it. And next thing you know, you can't find them. They're in Tahiti, okay? And you don't have any money in your reserves because they swiped it. Well, the Florida Statute 718 requires all associations, whether it be a homeowner association or a condo association. There's two statutes there, 718 and 720. But they require the associations that carry fidelity coverage in the amount of all money, reserves, CDs, whatever you got that's could be exposed. So that's what it's for. It's to protect the association, the members, that one day they don't wake up and there's no money in the account and one of the board members took off with it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. All right. We're going to take a very short commercial break, and please keep listening to the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network. We're going to be right back to take some questions from callers.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years' experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, Chris, we talked about the importance of having D&O insurance. So could you elaborate a little bit more and maybe give us a scenario?
Sure, Sharon. You know, before I give the scenario, let me say this to people joining boards. The first thing you should do if you're considering joining a board, whether it be a homeowner association or a condo association, make sure there is a directors and officers policy in place. It is vital because you could personally be held responsible for your decisions. So you got to be extra careful. Make sure that's in place. But, you know, I had mentioned the board decided to put a speed bump in front of someone's driveway and that they didn't like it, and that's a real case that happened. I'll give you another case of a homeowner association where a gentleman put a fence up. He put a fence up. It cost him about $7,000, and it was beautiful. And one of the board members saw it at the completion, right at the completion, and they called the property manager and said, you know, we need you to get out there and stop him. Our bylaws say that you're not allowed to have a fence, so you're going to have to tear it down. And so, of course, the property manager knocked on the door, got with the folks, told them, you can't have the fence. It's against the bylaws, pulled the bylaws out and read it. And, you know, the guy said, well, I've got $7,000. This is going. I'm not tearing the fence down. And he says, well, you're going to have to tear it down, or we're going to have to enforce some of our rules on you, and that won't be pretty. Well, the guy turned around, wouldn't tear the fence down, hired himself an attorney after the association served him, you know, served him a letter saying to tear it down, official. He got himself an attorney, and he sued the association for discrimination. Now, you might say, how could that even happen? Discrimination. Well, the premise of his lawsuit was there was a board member several years earlier that had a similar fence put in on their property.
Oh, well, okay.
And so, of course, you know, you bring your board together, you talk about what this is about, and everybody starts to clamor, and they... Some like it. Some said, let him have the fence. Some said, we're not going to do it. And they're going to dig in. And as you know, Sharon, being a property manager, there's going to be some digging in.
People
are going to dig their heels in real deep. They're not going to stand for it. And they're going to fight. Well, they fought. Okay. And when it was all said and done, they lost. And he got to keep the fence. But it cost them $98,000. To fight that guy over that fence. And the reason it happened like that was because, they set a precedent on that association. They let someone do something, and then so it was selective enforcement. So my caution to board members out there, be careful. Be careful. Be very careful, and certainly get with your property manager if there's a situation, and maybe your attorney, if you're going to start trying to enforce something that's going to cost someone $7,000, $10,000, you know, you might want to make sure that it couldn't backfire on you. In that particular association's case, it backfired, and they lost almost $100,000.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. For those of us, for those of you who just joined us here, our guest is Chris Sanders, and he is the CEO of Aegis Insurance. And, of course, our topic today is on property insurance that's required for condos and homeowners associations. But at this point, I would like to take some questions from callers. Bobby, do we have anybody on the line?
First up, we have Felicia.
Felicia, welcome to
Hi.
Yeah, welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your question?
I actually serve on the board at my condo association, mm-hmm. and our insurance company, they're refusing to renew our policy unless we replace the roof. Is that allowed, or is there something we can do about it?
Well, hi, Felicia. There's requirements with insurance companies, they call them eligibility rules. And, you know, for an association, your buildings, they need to be in decent shape. And if they start getting into disrepair or dilapidation or roof leaks, it's going to be difficult for insurers to come along and renew your policy, which could force you into not such a good situation. You might be able to get insurance, but they'll want to exclude any type of roof damage, any type of leaking, and so forth from if you don't get the roof fixed. Sometimes, though, Felicia, they will, some of the carriers will give contingently give you a renewal if you get under contract and get the roof done. So, but yes, they absolutely have the right to non-renew it. Of course, they have to give you adequate time and notices, mm-hmm. okay, in writing that they're not going to renew mm-hmm. you and explain why they're not renewing it. And so you have time to seek coverage elsewhere. Okay. I hope I answered your question.
You did. I'll pass that information along to the other board members so we can all understand. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Felicia. Bobby, do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. We have Susan.
Susan, welcome to the WTAN talk show. How are you tonight?
Good, good. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you so much.
I have a question. I'm a snowbird and living up north, but I come down here, of course, during the winters. And I live in a condo. And while I was gone this past winter, there was a roof leak. And unbeknownst to me, it leaked, you know, several times right onto my real wood dining room table and ruined it.
Oh, gosh.
Now, condo association's telling me, well, you can put a claim into your own insurance company, and I don't think that's right. I think it's the condo's responsibility. Can you clarify that?
Well, you know, it could be. I'm sorry, your name was Susan?
Susan, yeah.
Yes, Susan. Susan, yeah, you know, roof leaks are tricky. It's a tricky type of claim, but a condo association is responsible for the building and the structures. So if you lost the whole building, they'd build you a brand new building back. And if they could build the building, and then you would walk in and you would see nothing but drywall and unfinished interior. And that's your responsibility based on the bylaws, typically, to take care of the inside of your unit, finishing it off with your flooring and so forth. But we're talking about your personal items, your personal contents. And the only way those can be covered would be from your personal insurance policy. The association would have no responsibility to cover your contents with one exception. The exception to that rule would be if there was a known problem and it had been addressed by you and other board member, or you and other members of the association to the board to get it repaired, and they never repaired it, and it kept going on and on. And then you might have a chance to get some of your items covered under the liability coverage of the association. But mostly it's going to be covered by your own personal insurance, and unfortunately, The answer to that question would be that would be your responsibility to take care of your dining room table.
Yeah, but it only happened because the condo's roof leaked. You know, other than that, I mean, it's not my roof; it's their roof.
Sure.
So, you know, why should I have to replace my dining room table?
Right, and Susan, that's a great question. But if it was a known situation and the board and the association did nothing about repairing a roof that was in bad condition, where these problems had been stated before, then they would then the association would be responsible. But if it was just the wind blew and blew a shingle back and all of a sudden it started leaking, or it was just sudden and accidental, then it would not be the association's responsibility. We could call that an act of God, or just wear and tear. Oh. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. But, again,
well,
it comes back.
Well, they did fix it. Once I reported it, they did fix it. So, you know, and they repaired the drywall, not the ceiling only.
Right. Right. In that case, they're going to, the association is going to be responsible for the drywall. So even though you have a leak, it came through the roof, you have insurance, you bring your insurance company out, they're going to take care of your items, your personal, your contents, and the association's going to take care of getting rid of the damaged drywall and putting new drywall in, and then taping it and masking it. But after that, it'll be your insurance that will have to texture the ceilings and paint them and so forth.
Yeah, they'll do all that.
Right. So I would think most of the insurance companies out there on HO6 programs, which is probably what you have if you live in a condo, they'll take care of everything, including your table and, of course, less your deductible.
Now, will that mean my insurance will go up now, even though it's not my fault?
Not necessarily. I mean, your insurance doesn't always go up if you have a claim, okay? Yeah. But it all depends on the type of claim it is. It could be, if you had water pipes breaking in bathrooms and multiple claims over the years, you may find it hard to get insurance. But the insurance carriers themselves, they don't typically raise your rate for one claim. But I wouldn't worry about that so much.
All right. I just thought that, maybe they were just telling me to put it under my insurance because they didn't want to put a claim under theirs.
Right. Right. No. And that's understandable, Susan. I appreciate, you're calling in. And I wish I had better news for you, but it sounds like the association, nobody knew about it. It was sudden. So it would be something, they'll take care of the drywall and the cleanup of that drywall. But after that, your insurance company will have to take care of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for reconfirming that. And,
Thank you,
I love listening to the questions and, conversation. So,
well, thank you. I hope it's informative for you.
Yeah, it is.
And thank you for calling in, Susan.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's take another question. Bobby, do we have a caller on the line?
We're going to go to Lisa now.
Okay. Lisa.
Hi, my name's Lisa, and I was just wondering, I live in a large HOA here in Pasco County, and I was wondering if our board of directors may, steal from our community, do we have insurance to cover that loss? And if so, what's the deductible on something like that?
Well, Lisa, we had talked about that a little bit before. We were talking about fidelity coverage and bonds, and an association is required by law to carry fidelity coverage. So if someone were to steal from an association, that's what it's there for, to pretty much to protect the innocent, the members that don't know anything about it.
So it does protect the members.
Yes, it does. And so the deductible, that can be anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000. They're all different. It just depends on the circumstance. But something like that, I would think it could be around
$1,000. $1,000. Now, would they be liable themselves for that $1,000, or is that just a loss to the community?
Well, it's just a, let's not call it a loss to the community. It's, you know, you've got an insurance program through Fidelity Coverage, and let's say that it's got $500,000 in it to protect the funds of the association, and God forbid someone stole money. In this particular case, they stole money. It's going to be $1,000, but you never know how much the insurance company may have to pay out to protect the members. It could be all $500,000. And so, but that's a, and
that's a nominal fee to pay for that much money. That's for sure.
Yeah. No. And then of course the association would just pay that deductible out of their operating funds and, and so forth. That often you won't see any type of special assessment over a small deductible. Not that I'm saying $1,000 is small, but in
a large community.
You know. Right. In a large community, it's not too bad, but it's there to protect you. And I'm sorry to hear that you had something like that happen. There's some not so honest people out there. You got to be careful.
Well, at least we're covered, so that's all good.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling the Ameritech Connection.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good night. So, Chris, I have a question for you. Some associations, they have a workers' compensation policy, but they have no employees. So what's up with that?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Sharon. You know, I get that question a lot, and a lot of folks will say, well, you know, we don't need it. We don't have any employees. What do we need this for at all? And just what is workers' comp? Okay, workers' compensation is it's a social insurance program, and employers and businesses have to have workers' comp. If they have in the construction industry, if you have one employee, you have to have workers' comp. If you're in the retail side or professional, if you have four employees on payroll at any one given time, you have to have workers' comp. It's a mandate by the state of Florida, so it's something you have to have if you meet that criteria. But when we're talking about HOAs and COAs, that's not always it's not the case. Often they don't have employees. So the question I get is, well, then how are we getting it in the first place? What is this? And so the answer to that is that the programs, they're special programs that are developed for the associations, and what they do is they're written on an if any basis, meaning if you ever had someone that did a part-time anything that hurt themselves, and you would be held responsible for that. That's one thing. But they're special because they have some verbiage in and wording inside of these policies that also speak about volunteers. And anybody in an association knows somebody's hung a Christmas light or Halloween lights or festive lights or 4th of July flags. They've done something. And so with that being said, you know, you need it because you association could be held responsible if someone got hurt on their property. I'll give you, for instance, you could have a contractor that's cutting your grass, okay? And when he was vetted by the property manager, he gave certificates of insurance. Well, he or she may have went on hard times and didn't pay their insurance premium and was canceled. But they're not going to stop their revenue stream, and they're going to continue cutting your grass, okay? Mm-hmm. And if someone gets hurt, you may find out their insurance expired, and someone may want to turn around and sue the association, and that's where you would get some coverage from this.
And that's happened, I'm sure.
You know, it's happened
many times.
It's happened. One example of that is we had a little villa condo association. And we spoke about this and all these questions. Well, why do I need it? We don't have any employees. But I explained what I just had said, and I convinced the board to go ahead and move forward with it, and they did it. Okay. It was not 45 days later, a gentleman was cleaning the gutters out of his carport, and he slipped off the ladder and he broke his ankle. It was a $28,000 medical claim, and he sued the association, and they had to pay. And the workers' comp did pay, paid the claim.
Okay. We're going to take a very short commercial break. Please keep listening to the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network. We're going to be right back to take some questions from callers.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Having a digital presence for your business is a vital part of your company's success. ProfitGate Web is your complete website resource center, offering web design and hosting, marketing, video production and media management, domain registration, and more. ProfitGate keeps your site up and running, providing exceptional and, most importantly, reliable service since 1999. Call ProfitGate and schedule your digital analysis today. 727-585-3850 or visit their website profitgateweb.com.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and
you're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. Our guest, again, is Chris Sanders. He's CEO of the Aegis Insurance Group. And today's topic is all about property insurance and what's required for condos and homeowners associations. So, Chris, I know our listening audience is curious. What does liability coverage cover?
Well, liability insurance is, you have to think about liability insurance coverage as coverage to protect you from things you could do to others.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use an automobile, for instance. If you have a car and you're going down the road and you run into someone, it's the liability section of your insurance policy that pays for the damage you did because you hurt someone, you caused damage to others, so you're going to be liable for it. Okay, so in a condo, in a homeowner association, when it comes to liability insurance, I like to call it the slip and fall insurance. Okay, people get hurt by falling a lot of times, and really the number one claim for homeowner associations and condos when it comes to liability coverage is sidewalks, tripping hazards.
Mm-hmm. I hear that often.
Right, and you hear that often, Sharon, and you probably hear it where someone will say, our sidewalk over by a tree has got it looks like a step. And what happens is the trees over time, they grow and the root systems mm-hmm. elevate the concrete and it creates a tripping hazard. And I've seen many a claim and people get hurt, you know, severely from tripping over that. So what happens is when we write the liability insurance or we're doing a renewal or writing a new association, after we write the liability policy, they're always subject to inspection. So about 30 days, 45 days later, they'll hire a firm that comes out, they'll inspect the property, and then they'll have a recommendation list. And one of the recommendations that we see a lot is liability hazards, and it's often tripping issues. One that sometimes these recommendations and these inspections don't catch, and I will, a word of caution to boards out there that are listening, look for areas where you have some undulation in the landscaping, where you'll have on rainy days, where you'll have water cascading over a certain period of a walkway, okay? And because what happens is it grows algae in that one spot, okay? And everything's great, okay? You could walk over it. You wouldn't slip, no problem. Mm-hmm. But the first little rain comes, and someone's got a flashlight, and they're walking their dog, and they're walking out there, and they hit that. It's like hitting black ice. And we have had a lot of claims over that issue. So elevated sidewalks.
Okay.
Number one, okay, right. And watch out for mold and mildew growing on these sidewalks. Another thing, since we're talking about liability, is if you've got multiple story condominiums, staircases, okay, hand railings, ensure these things are not rickety, and if they are, fix them. Some are made out of steel, some are made out of wood. If you've got one that's not in great shape, maybe you have to call a welder to come out and weld it up, or replace it. Often, if you're doing proper maintenance on it, you don't have to rip them all out. You just keep them painted and mm-hmm. sealed up, and make sure the handrails are secure, because people, maintain. That's another,
right.
Maintain it, because right. You think about it. You could go tumbling right over a balcony, and there's been many of those claims too, where they got rickety and the little slats, especially, you know, you have children, little children, you know, they start playing around on them. They're not holding the top rail. They're little.
Right.
And they yeah. start pushing around on these rails, and oh my goodness, there they go, right through it, because yeah. they weren't maintained. And believe me, that will be a big, big lawsuit.
Big lawsuit, I can imagine. What, a lot of associations have pools. What about any issues?
Well, pools, right. You know, on the liability aspect, you know, posted signs. There's no lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of requirements for pools, and the counties have them. Like, one is self-locking gates. They need to be functioning. And if they're not, it's very inexpensive to tidy it up, okay, and have those, just to have them checked out to make sure that mm-hmm. they're closing properly. Because that is one thing that on the inspection they're looking for. Those self-locking gates, they better be working, or they're going to have a recommendation report coming to me, to the property manager and to the board to say, let's get these things fixed. You know, fire extinguishers in common areas, they need to be updated. The smoke alarms, they need to be updated. They need to, if they're battery only, a lot of them are powered, both. Mm-hmm. But if they're battery only, then on the website or a newsletter that the association should be sending something out, reminding people, hey, folks, change the battery once a year, test it every 6 months, make sure it's working. You know, especially in a frame structure, you definitely want to be checking that. So those are liability issues. And the pool, of course. The mm-hmm. the pool is a subject sometimes where people don't want to insure it, because they may say, well, why are we insuring the pool? We're spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. Well, we're not spending, but we're insuring it for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a limit. And they're like, why are we doing that? Are they gonna, if a storm hits, it's underground, what's it gonna matter? Well, it could matter if the water got blown out of it and it popped up out of the ground. And even Olympic-sized pools, the bigger they are, the easier they are to crack. So you've got to make sure, you know, you want to make sure they're covered.
Yeah, you don't think about those things, yeah.
Right. You could have the water blown out of it and it pop up and have a crack. And you're not fixing a crack like that in a concrete pool. It's just not going to happen. Okay. They have to beat it out of the ground and replace it. So.
All right. Just real quick, what do you normally do when you're looking at a new insurance policy for a condo association? I mean, for example, are you looking to save them money? Are you looking for better coverage? What exactly would you be looking at?
Well, in my working career, I was in the construction business, and it certainly has served me well over my 20-year career in the insurance business. So I know how things are built. And a lot of times what I'm looking at is how is the structure built. The first thing that I ask for if an association has called me to do a quote for them and to review their insurance is I'm looking for the most current appraisal. And I want to make sure that we're on the right, you know, how is it built? Does this appraisal look right? Sometimes they're not right. I don't tell an appraiser what to do, but I sure can look at one of them and tell if it is not correct, and maybe you need to be looked at again, and maybe have someone else look at it. So these are important factors when I'm looking at an association, but I'm looking at a lot of things. So I'm looking at the value of what these appraisals look like. And then I'm looking at the coverage itself in the policies, and I'm going through that with a fine-tooth comb and making sure that they've got quality companies, good-rated companies, and then, of course, we're going to try to get you the best value, and we normally do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN, Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR, Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.